I mean, Stalin signed a lot of death warrants. I wouldn't say that was a good thing.
Mm. I didn't expect to hear that sentence in this episode. Welcome to Sabrina the Teenage Witch, everybody. Yeah.
This is where we talk about Stalin and Hitler. Anyway, back to Witch Hitler.
I'm in a real identity crisis here, Al.
Nothing penetrates with you, Dawson.
Who do you see in the mirror?
Hey!
Hell grey, hot.
Hello and welcome to The Incomplete Series, your incomplete guide to every television show you've ever watched. My name's Morgan and this is the podcast where we watch the first episode and the very last episode of a television series and try and figure out what happened in the middle. Jeremy, did you notice anything about my intro there?
Yeah, I'm confused about our MO. So we're doing like a shoddy recap of shows that people have watched?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so like they would have watched all of it and then we're going to tell them what we think about it even though we've only watched two of the possibly hundreds of episodes.
Pretty much, yeah. Mm. That's what we've been doing. That's what the last 29 episodes have been about.
Have you not been paying attention?
No wonder we're sort of flailing. Struggling to get listeners.
Yeah, I know. How are you, though,
Jeremy? What a terrible formula for a podcast.
Yeah, it's terrible. I know. It's awful. Don't worry.
I'll lead the charge. I'm looking forward to today's episode.
As am I.
This could be the one.
I think so. It feels good.
It could be the one.
I don't know what that means.
I have been waiting for this for a long time. Which brings me to you, Aaron. Aaron, how are you?
I'm great, Morgan. I also noticed something about your intro, that you pointed at Jeremy when you said first episode and pointed at Scott when you said last episode.
Yeah.
So am I the one in the middle that you're trying to figure out?
Yeah,
you're the one in the middle we're trying to avoid.
Yeah. No, you're the
it's
one.
It's just not really worth your time.
You're the one I want to let down the least. So I felt a little bit ashamed. I don't care when I disappoint these guys. Yeah. You know, that's okay. Jeremy's used to it. And Scott at the moment is a shell of a man. So.
It's true.
I live a life full of disappointment.
You do. Which, Scott, how is life for you right now?
Oh, you don't mean to. You're just trying to pick me up.
No.
Kick me in the teeth while I'm down.
Just leave you to bleed out.
That's what I'm going to try
and
do.
You've got to go around the group and give us all a compliment.
Right now.
Team building right exercise.
Team building, live on air. Well,
Jeremy,
when it happened.
You're good at finding shortcuts around Ascot Vale.
Everything's live when it happens.
Thank you.
Aaron, your beard is good.
Thank you.
Compliment about your beard.
Thank you.
And Scott, you're looking really empty today.
I feel empty.
In a good way.
It's like saying you've lost weight.
I feel like somebody's just taken an ice cream scoop to my soul. That's how I feel.
Oh dear.
It's depressing.
It's not good.
But we'll let's put that aside for
just to be clear, it's because you're hungover. You haven't suffered like
a terrible tragedy. Yeah.
No, it's just
literally Satan has got me.
The tragedy was
purely squeezing the life out of me.
Tragedy was all those beers last night.
That's too many beers. Mm.
Tequila shots at 3 a.m.
Yeah, that'll do it to you. But let's get away from that and let's get into Sabrina the Teenage Witch, the show we did this time.
Mm.
That's what had me in such a twist when I was trying to do the introduction. I just couldn't. All I could think about was
Melissa
Jones.
Everyone has watched it?
Yeah, all I could think about was Melissa Jones Hartz and her career and how it hasn't panned out the way she would have planned.
All her hearts.
All her hearts.
I mean, she got three?
Seven.
In her body or
in her body? It's like a cow
in
has
the
seven
fridge
in her
basement.
But
I shouldn't kick her while she's down.
She's had an alright career. I remember seeing her in one episode of Law and Order SVU.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Was she like a bad character? A murderer?
She was.
Something happened to her.
Part of a sexual assault. Oh, she was a teacher and slept with a student.
Ooh. Oh.
MJ.
I tell you.
The student may have raped her.
Oh.
Ooh.
So she claims. No spoilers.
Why would she? Okay. No. Yeah.
I must. I got to say, Law and Order SVU has had just an absolute raft of great celebrity guest appearances, but it's kind of like it's
of which Melissa Joan Hart is not one.
No, it's kind of funny because I remember Misha Barton was in a couple of episodes.
Ah, okay, so but these are the great celebrities.
But they've also had Robin Williams as well.
Okay,
had John Munch.
Oh, was Robin Williams? Oh,
he
yeah.
was in one. Yeah,
he was in an episode of
Patch Adams.
Homicide: Life on the Street. It was
that's my favorite.
It was amazing.
Show,
he was so young.
But
he killed it.
It's funny.
Did he literally kill
someone?
No, his whole family. No, his wife got killed.
Oh, okay. Right. But
did he do it?
No, it was like a street robbery gone wrong.
You always look at the husband first, though.
You do.
That's Law and Order 101.
Oh, they did.
I've seen Shawshank.
Exactly. But the reason I mentioned that is that it's a sort of like a place where
careers go to die.
A little bit, yeah. Guess if you're a guest star on Law and Order, it's a really like highly rated and acclaimed show. But if you get on there as a guest star, it's probably a bad time for your career.
Start of your career, that'd be great. Like if you're an up and coming.
Well, I've seen Robert Kelleny's in an.
You don't want to have your own show and then go from that to
because obviously they'll have you if they can say Melissa Joan Hart's on this week. Yeah. People will be like, oh, I remember her from the 90s. Yeah.
Let's see what she's up to.
Yeah. She's going to be magic.
Having sex with students.
Yeah. Imagine all the promos.
Been, do you reckon what if they had tried to cast her and then she's like, yeah, cool, I'm jumping on for an episode. What's this episode about? Oh, it's a witchcraft episode.
Yeah, surely.
Do you reckon she just would have like stormed off then and there?
I'm out.
April 1st.
Yeah.
Was day of production.
Although, she probably wouldn't storm off. She probably needed the work, so.
That's true.
But look, let's talk Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Jeremy, what did you know about Sabrina the Teenage Witch? I'm sure you must have watched it in your youth.
Yeah, I remember seeing a lot of it. It was one of those shows that was always on like the early Saturday time slot. Mm. When you're like a preteen with nothing to do, you end up watching that. You easily cruising from like that to Sale of the Century to Funniest Home Videos, and that's your night. Maybe a nice PG.
Friday night was Xena night. I remember that much.
Yeah. So it would have been a Saturday night show, I reckon. Mm. But wisecracking cat.
Yeah.
Mm. Sort of teen themes. Great for a young Jeremy.
Perfect. Aaron.
Yeah, I didn't mind it. I used to catch a few episodes back in the day. And I do remember watching the animated series on Saturday Disney.
There was an animated series?
Yeah. Yeah.
Scott, what did you know about Sabrina going in?
Much like everyone here. Caught, probably quite a few episodes back in the day. I hadn't realized that Salem was like a puppet.
Cat. Oh, yeah, the terrible puppet.
I remembered him just
real
as a real
creepy.
Cat all the time.
Yeah, me too. They switch. They switch frequently.
Yeah. It's like the Alf.
I definitely remember the creepy puppet cat more than I do the real cat.
Okay. Yeah. All right. See, I just remember the real cat.
Motions.
I didn't think its mouth moved or anything, but they went all out.
Mm. It was all the budget.
On the puppet cat.
On the puppet cat.
That's why they had to settle for Melissa Joan Hart.
It's an animatronic.
She was big back in her day.
They spent it all on the animatronic puppet the animatronic and Penn and Teller in the first episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do love Penn and Teller.
We've got to get to that.
I imagine you weren't a fan, Morgan, because it had a cat rather than a dog.
Yeah, I must admit, I did find that quite polarizing. But pretty much exact same as you guys. This show came out about prime time age for us to be watching that. So I caught bits and pieces of it, so... but I do distinctly remember watching, they had a couple of straight to TV movies.
Really?
Which was...
always a good sign.
Yeah, great sign.
also like Elf.
including, I think, which I find puzzling, but we'll get to this later in the episode. There's one, Sabrina Down Under, where she goes back to Australia and falls in love with a merman.
Back to Australia.
What? Well, to Australia. Mm.
Are you confusing that with the TV show Genie from Down Under?
I am not.
With Rhys Muldoon.
Well, Rhys Muldoon was in that, wasn't he?
He was.
G'day, mates. Anyway, the point is that, I remember catching that. And so...
But Genie from Down Under.
Not Genie from Down Under. Genie.
Witchy from Down Under.
From Down Under.
How do you guys remember that song?
It's a great show.
This is an awesome show. The Magic Opal.
Yeah.
We're not talking about this. We're talking about Sabrina
this
the
week
Teenage
we're
Witch.
Doing Genie from Down Under.
I think we are.
There was also a bunch
it's
of...
It's not too late for us to pivot.
Sabrina video games.
What are really?
Yeah.
Do you play as Sabrina or do you play as Salem?
I assume you play as Sabrina. There was a
It'd
bunch of...
It'd surely be a bonus level where you play as Salem.
Mm. PC, like the Pikachu surfing thing in Pokemon.
One on PlayStation and one for Game Boy Advance.
Game Boy Advance.
I can play that.
It was to get it. That's.
It was called Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Potion Commotion.
Good name.
Yeah,
I'm surprised it made it all the way to Game Boy Advance. I thought Sabrina would have petered off by like.
Yeah, released in 2002.
Well, for Sabrina finished in 2003.
Yeah,
but she's 16 in the first episode, so she's only in high school for 2 years, and then it's a 7-season run.
Yeah,
yeah. So she's a teenager for
2 years. Well. Longer than that, 4 years.
Like three of the 7 years that it ran?
Yeah.
So arguably not
Sabrina
the teenage witch.
Mid-20s witch.
The 20-something witch.
Yeah.
Doesn't have the same ring to it.
Sabrina
doesn't.
The young adult witch.
Sabrina the witch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's what I thought it changed its name to. Because I remember...
Sabrina the witch.
I remember seeing like... reruns on like Saturday afternoons. Like just like where she's like working like a coffee shop and she's at college or something like that. Like...
Why would she work at a coffee shop? She's a witch.
She's magic.
Yeah.
She's trying to
magic
fit in.
Some
she's
money
to,
or something.
She's trying to fit in.
No.
Gotta fit in.
Magic some money.
That's how it works. All right. Well, look, we could just take shots at it now, but let's really get into the first episode.
Yeah, we'll give the listeners some context before we start taking shots.
I agree.
Episode 1 begins with Sabrina, a seemingly normal teenage girl floating above her bed. It's her 16th birthday, and she's finally blossoming into the witch she was born to be. Her aunties break the news to her by gifting her the easy-bake oven version of a cauldron, but Sabrina is skeptical.
You know, for a second there, you almost made me forget about my first day of school. Thanks.
She heads to school, where naturally she's an outsider, and somehow manages to turn her bully into a pineapple. For this indiscretion, she's pulled in front of the witch review board, which is just Penn and Teller.
State your name, age, and request. We'll see if we can fit you in.
I'm Sabrina, I'm 16, I'd like to turn back time.
Denied!
Eventually, thanks to some string pulling from one of her aunts, she's granted the opportunity to relive her first day as a witch. This time around, she absolutely nails it, complete with the cliche drink spill on the bully. Penn and Teller.
Yeah, it was interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, I was not like, because you hear Penn's voice before you see him. I was like, ooh, I didn't think we were going this way.
Yeah.
They really went quite literal with the magic casting.
Were they obviously a thing in the 90s.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, they've been around for ages.
But this show, it's a big franchise. I mean, it has games, had an animated series, it's had directed TV movies. It's owned by Disney. So I'm not surprised they probably pulled some of these along the way.
So which one's Penn?
The talking
one. The big one.
Does the other one talk at all, ever?
But his, like, shtick is that he doesn't really talk.
Yeah. Because I remember they had, like, this TV show that I used to catch sometimes maybe, like, 10 years ago.
Mm.
Like, Penn and Teller's Bullshit.
Yeah.
I think is what it was called. And they just, like, all of these weird things that they sort of did some investigative journalism into. Which is a bit strange for magicians.
Yeah.
It was actually kind of interesting.
Okay.
The Penn and Teller BS.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember watching a few episodes of that and it was actually...
Yeah.
Unfortunately, funny. We're not talking about that today.
Oh, we're not?
Really? Because that's what my reboot's based around.
Because they're both a part of the New York Skeptics Society. They're like really big into that.
Oh. Yeah, I saw like skeptics. An anti-vax video that they did.
The Skeptics Society.
That Penn and Teller did.
Oh, anti-vaccination?
Like as in debunking it.
Oh, right.
Oh, right. Okay.
I was going to say, I'm like,
promoting the awareness of anti-vaxxers.
Here I was sort of jumping on board with these guys and I was about to just jump straight off. But
yeah,
I got that back in my okay.
It's a surefire way to tell if someone's crazy.
This is true.
I mean, that said, if there are any anti-vaxxers that listen to this podcast, we welcome you with open arms.
5 stars.
Yeah. Just don't give go near our kids.
Give us your anti-vaxxed reboots.
Let's talk about the creepiness of Salem, because I've forgotten how creepy he was.
It's very unsettling.
He's kind of creepy.
Kind of.
I don't know.
Very,
which
creepy.
Which parts are the creepy parts?
It's just, when he talks, mostly. Yeah. And like kind of moves.
It's the movement.
Okay.
The puppet's what's creepy. The guy that does his voice is great.
Yeah.
The voice is like instantly recognizable.
Full of great gags.
Yeah.
No, I must admit, I actually did get a couple of laughs from some of his comments.
Yeah.
The writers, especially in the finale, not so much this one, but they are writing so many jokes from Melissa Joan Hart and they're all just terrible.
Yep.
Like, she's going to be really sharp and witty, but it's just not fun.
It's the Tim Allen approach.
It is.
So I think
she's not landing any of them.
Throw enough shit at the wall and some of
the worst.
There's no wall.
The worst joke was that knock knock Brad Pitt joke.
I got a joke. Knock knock. Who's there? Brad. Brad who? Brad Pitt. Is there any other Brad worth mentioning?
Oh my god!
What the fuck was that?
I
we had to hear it
out.
Twice. Yeah. She relives that day.
It's a kid show. That's the thing. You kind of have to go. Okay. It's
how
a kid show,
kids just... is it though? Because like, how old do you reckon we were when we were watching this show?
'96. I was 7.
Yeah,
but probably not.
But it was going
probably
like
quite
a while.
Probably like 10.
Yeah.
So yeah, what? 10. 8. To
I reckon it's probably aimed at maybe like
8 to
14-year-old girls.
Yeah.
Yeah. And younger, because that's the thing. Like when the acting is extremely wooden, and I think that's...
as is often the case with a when there's a laugh track in a comedy, because they've all got to pause after every single thing they say.
And kids shows are like that.
Yeah, yeah.
They're slower and a little like for the kids to digest.
That said, though, I think there were some good gags. I enjoyed the episode.
Yeah. I felt pretty nostalgic watching it.
Salem's, you know, he's got some good cracks.
Yeah.
And the aunts are pretty great.
Yeah.
Yeah, the aunts are good. Well, so, what's that? Catherine Ray, the Hilda?
With the high pitch. Oh, no, the...
No, the...
Yeah,
Hilda's the high pitch. The nurturing motherly one and the high pitch.
Yeah,
the high
pitch. I'm a big
one.
Fan of Zelda's voice.
Yeah, yeah. It's very nice. I'd love to have her just read erotic literature to me. I was going to go with something wholesome, but
no, the erotic literature.
I would happily call into a sex line that she she was the voice of.
But they
do people just still do that?
Not for specific people.
Maybe back then, though. You reckon there was probably
a market for that
Zelda themed?
Oh, there'd be
sex line in the,
can
in
you,
the 90s.
Can you imagine the amount of fan fiction and like that's about this show? It's going to get real creepy.
Regular fan fiction or erotic fan fiction?
Well, is there? I didn't know there was a difference.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they just right. Fan fiction is just erotic fan fiction.
The aunts, Zelda and Helga, are awful at informing her that she's a witch.
Oh, yeah.
They give her so bad. No
they,
notice.
They have no plan
and they're just
whatsoever.
Like, you're a witch.
And they don't really try like, to...
Off to school.
They don't really try and good convince luck. Her much.
No.
They just give her like a miniature
just
cauldron.
Like do one bit of magic.
Yeah.
And blow her mind.
And they're like, oh, your mum's not around because she can't be. And that's they just tie up that loose end real quick.
Yeah.
And he's your and dad. You, he's in a book.
He's in a book.
That's definitely not true about the mum, right?
She must... Because she... Well, we don't want to jump too far ahead. But she's around in the last episode. Yeah.
But that, but she does.
Stay,
she gets a,
stay tuned.
She gets permission from like the magic council. I didn't want to give anything away, but I just did.
No.
Okay, well, they're going to hear it.
Can we wrap this up? Sounds like.
But apart from that, I mean, like most sitcoms, not a hell of a lot happened.
No. No.
I mean, there was a bit of... I mean, the story gets going, but then it's
goes
really,
to school, not believing she's a witch. Yep. A bunch of strange things happen. She starts
she's
to believe. And then... They let her relive the day and she just nails it.
Mm. Yeah, what's with the morality of this? Like, what's the lesson here?
Yeah,
listen to your aunt.
It's lost on me. Like, they just gave her a redo because she had a bad day.
But she also, she like harnesses her powers a little better. She doesn't let herself fly off the
that's
handle
such
and
a
turn
bad
people
way.
Into a pineapple.
She just like retaliates by just like putting orange drink in someone's face. Like,
Yeah. It splashes up in her face.
Just made that girl feel bad. Like, she's the bully now.
Yeah.
She gets a movie date with the...
Maybe that's the lesson. Be the bully. Don't...
Yeah, don't be bullied.
Don't be bullied. Be the bully.
Yep.
Harvey. I looked up the actor, Nate Rickard.
He has aged terrible.
Not aged well.
Oh my God. I gotta
horrendous.
See this.
Nate Rickard, it looks horrific.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh. Guy's only like 40 as well.
Oh my God. How do we describe him?
So we went from like a young teen heartthrob.
Yeah, with like the long flowing hair. Now he's got the shaved bald head with
chubby
a creepy goatee.
Weird goatee.
Yeah.
The years were not kind to him at all.
No.
He looks like... Oh, who's that guy in NYPD Blue? Like, he's like that, but just a mo.
Yeah, he's 39.
Oh, wow.
It'd be like if like a young Leo, you know, teenage heartthrob, aged into like a current Steven Seagal.
Oh God, Steven Seagal looks terrible.
Yeah, like a bald Steven Seagal. It's just that like, transition. I don't know what happened.
Looks
to
like Gary Busey. If Leo aged into Gary Busey,
yeah, pretty much.
Who's the guy from Dexter who wears the hat all the time?
Oh, David Zayas.
Yeah, what's the character's name?
Angel Batista.
Batista. Yeah, he's like that. Yeah.
Batista doesn't look that bad though.
No,
Batista actually looks
better.
But
it's
than
like
he does.
If Leo turned into Batista.
Oh right, even yeah, fair enough. But so, yeah, Nate Rickard. Sorry, Aaron, I interrupted.
Years haven't been kind.
No.
So do you reckon that's the way it works for all witches? Just 16th birthday. You're now a witch.
Floating.
Yeah.
Mm. Does she float every night?
Yeah, because she was floating like the next night.
You'll float too.
Is that how you sleep now?
I guess.
And like surely you would have a better plan. You know this is coming.
Yeah. Floating.
A better bed.
No, just the very least. Sorry, informing your
like it happens like clockwork on their 16th birthday.
Yeah, don't
have a plan.
Tell them like just
why
go
can't
to school
you,
another
why can't
day.
You
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know.
Think of all the things that would have gone on in that house in the 16 years leading up to that point.
Yeah.
Where she surely would have picked up on some things.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they just like men in blacked her. With like some...
Every day?
Every day.
Wipe her memory every day.
Yeah. Give her some Novocaine like I gave Mr. T.
Yeah, exactly. She's got the mind of a 5-year-old.
So they... Because, you know, like her aunt's going in that cupboard that's basically an interdimensional portal.
Yeah.
And there's a massive flash every time she does. Like, surely she would have picked up on that.
That would have been so... That would have been great news for like the like production... designer who's just like,
all right, so
they're like, oh, so there's a portal. They're like, oh fuck, man, it's gonna be so much work. Like, oh, no, it's
but
just a cupboard.
You never see it.
Yeah, you never see it. And it's in a cupboard. Yes,
just have some lightning. We're good.
Yeah. Does anybody find it alarming how Hilda is just so like shows no reluctance in murdering one of the school kids, the bully, after
when she's
after
turned
Sabrina
into a
turns her into a pineapple and she's like, oh, I'll sort this out and gets out of like a huge juicer. Chopping knife.
Clearly. Yeah.
Like,
well, she is like 600 years old.
Hilda? I was calling her Helga.
Oh, no, no.
Okay, Hilda.
Hilda and Zelda.
Calling her Helga to who?
To her face or?
Behind her back.
Mm.
That is very unsettling.
Like, they just sort of like played it off as a joke. But if you go into it, that's pretty dark. Like, I imagine she's probably done that to quite a few people.
And well, she doesn't go to the supermarket. She just goes shopping on the street.
They made it out like the girl was still... sort of conscious when she was a pineapple. She's like, I don't really know where I went, but it smelled like Hawaii.
Yeah.
Something like that. Like, so she was sort of aware of her surroundings, and she was about to get chopped up.
Yeah.
If she were to be chopped up, what would come out? Blood or pineapple juice?
Or would she just still be within, like if they juiced her, would she just now be in some pineapple juice?
Mm, that's a good question.
And then if you just be switch processed. Her back, would she... Or would you cut the pineapple open? She's sort of like...
just like a little...
like a little egg.
Yeah. Human egg.
Yeah, like an egg.
Oh, God. Wait for the pineapple to hatch.
Well, let's not think about this too much.
Yep, let's let that one go.
Weird me out.
I don't, dare I say, I don't think they would have explored that.
There's a reason they scuttled that very quickly.
All right, that probably wraps up episode one. What do you got for the finale?
Show me what you got.
Show me what you got.
The Sabrina the Teenage Witch two-parter finale begins by revealing that Sabrina is engaged to the conventionally handsome Aaron. For her bachelorette party, she jumps on a cruise ship with her two best friends, Roxy and Morgan. After meeting a group of the most authentic Australians portrayed on television...
Crikey, the tunes are playing here enough to put a wallaby to sleep.
A storm topples the vessel and the three are stuck in the Bermuda Triangle. They're marooned on an empty island, but survive the experience through the power of friendship and five-star gags.
Look, I'm gonna go get some answers and some firewood. Good luck! Yeah, like firewood grows on trees.
The girls return home and Sabrina kicks straight into wedding mode, but now she's having second thoughts.
Because that's what you're doubting, isn't it? Whether or not you and Aaron are soulmates?
No! Well, maybe. Can you ever really know for sure?
She discovers that her and Aaron's souls don't fit together, and after a series of magic-related disasters, Sabrina bails on Aaron at the altar and finds her high school sweetheart, Harvey, waiting outside for her.
I'm not really sure what this is, but something tells me I'll find the answer here.
And I think I just found mine.
She jumps on the back of his motorbike as all the wedding attendees smile and wave her off, as if she didn't just waste all of their time, effort, and money. And that's it for Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
So Harvey rocks up. He's like joined a motorcycle gang.
Yeah.
Picks her up. And everyone at the wedding is just like waving happily. Sees him off down the road.
She left Aaron at the altar.
He's
literally
surprisingly okay with it.
No, he's like, oh, I just need to be happy. Yeah, it's fine. I get it. You know, he just doesn't care.
Those people don't exist.
No.
He's
like caricature nice guy.
No way.
Too nice.
That was a great description of him as well. Conventionally handsome. I was watching it with my girlfriend and she was like, you can even tell looking from behind that that guy is just so American. Like people don't look like that anywhere else but in America.
No. Just that real like box square jaw.
Yeah, and like fluffed hair. Yeah. And just like...
yes, reasonably well tanned, good looking dude.
So boringly handsome.
Yeah. You said conventionally handsome.
Yeah.
Perfect. Well, you'll do. And Harvey's still looking okay by that stage.
Yeah.
He hasn't gone to goatee at egghead yet.
No, not yet.
It must have been somewhere in his 30s.
So should we start with the first part? The cruise.
Oh, yeah. First of all, they dial up the canned laughter massively in this.
Yeah.
Do you think they tried to go from young adult sitcom to just full blown
regular?
Trying to appeal to the adult
mature
market.
With their listeners, mature with their viewers.
Yeah. You got to grow with your audience.
Yeah,
like Buffy.
Because the intro was different as well, and God, it was lame.
Oh, so
just
bad.
Like kind of dancing around. What the hell was that?
And the song about like life's real hard, but. Trying to do my best, and I'm like just spinning through all these different poles and stuff,
and there's more
of different outfits.
It's very, very strange.
Life's not hard. She's a witch.
Yeah, she can do anything.
Don't lie to me, song.
It's very like early 2000s.
She's conjured pineapples out of thin air.
Yeah, you'd think after a couple of years she'd have it down pat, and life would just be a dream.
Speaking of early 2000s, the cameo of the singer on the cruise ship.
Oh, Mario.
Mario.
Young
Mario.
Oh man.
Pre Mario? You Should Let Me Love You, Mario.
I didn't recognize him at all.
He was, around in the early 2000s.
Okay.
I don't know any of his songs, but
I want to know what he looks like nowadays.
Pretty much the same. Yeah. I mean, he was only 15, or no, 17 in the episode.
Oh. Really?
He's only 31 now.
It's weird that he was allowed on a cruise ship. like to perform by himself. Shouldn't he be at school?
Let's just set all that aside. None of that matters.
And why does she know him? He's 17. That's a bit creepy.
No.
Was he like...
She magicked him.
Yeah, she did magic
him. She wished him there.
I mean, he was just okay with it, just appearing.
He was fine.
It's all her wishes. It doesn't really matter. But let's set that aside. Let's talk about the Australian soccer players.
Well, where have you guys been hiding? It's like it came out of nowhere.
Yeah, not nowhere. Australia. We're headed to Bermuda for a football match. Soccer to you, Yanks.
Well, soccer to you, too.
Football.
Soccer to you, Yanks.
And to us, but never mind that.
That's
all right.
Like,
they don't have the money to pay for anyone to check the facts.
This is what I was referring to, that they literally had filmed a TV movie of Sabrina the Teenage Witch in the country and then still got the stereotypes all completely wrong. And it was only like a year apart.
Here you are assuming that they actually went to Australia.
They did. I looked it up.
No, really? Oh. Where'd they shoot it?
Well, no, I don't know exactly, but I remember there was a 60 Minutes story about the filming that movie.
Oh, wow. Hard-hitting investigative journalism.
Because she got death threats.
So terrible.
They got death threats about her coming to film down here in Australia.
Why?
Who
was so fired up about
it? But the thing is, that would have happened anywhere they went.
Australians or?
No.
Why would that happen?
Why? Christian churches, because witchcraft. Promoting witchcraft.
Oh,
so,
okay. Come on. It's not like the 1840s.
I thought they just hated the show.
It was you, wasn't it?
I just really hate Melissa Joan Hart.
Just really hate cats.
No, it was a thing. I mean, like, empty threats, but...
Yeah, wow.
Anyway.
It's like the Salem witch trials all over again.
But the thing is, there's heaps
of... Is that why it's called Salem?
Yep.
Yeah.
What's the Salem witch trials?
It was in America? The 1600s where they burned, like, 24 people or something.
Okay.
Like, oh, did they burn them or they hang?
Chuck them in the water and see if they float.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. El Clasico for...
Yeah. If you die a good Christian death, and if you escape, you're a witch, and then at that point you'll report back here for further punishment.
flawless plan.
How do you prove that someone's a witch?
Burning
them like that.
Exactly. Yeah. You burn them.
Oh, you burn them. If they burn,
they burn.
They're a witch.
No, no. If they're a witch, they'll save themselves, and then you kill them.
Yeah.
How?
I don't know.
Well, they report back to you. They report back to you for killing.
But that's the thing, Scott.
It's the deal.
None of them survived the burning.
There was no witches.
They never had to.
This is a weird model.
That's it.
I want to see this flowchart.
It was clearly something that like was not that well thought out.
Maybe it was pre-flowchart, and that's why it was so haphazard.
What was that show we watched? We did this show, and it was. I want to say it was Xena, or might have been Hercules, but. It was like someone got out of a marriage by claiming their wife had done something. I can't remember what it was.
Oh, no. I always got to say Wishbone. Napoleon. It was Wishbone. Where it was like the will of the gods.
Yeah, will of the gods. Yeah. That's what the witch burning's like. It's just someone trying to get out of a marriage. Ah, oh, she's a witch. and then he's like 24 people burn at the stake just to avoid the awkwardness of having a pre-divorce.
Pre-divorce.
Yeah.
This is what you had to do.
So is your reboot like
it was hard being a man back then.
Like a
obviously.
You had to make a tough call.
Exactly. Let 24 women burn or stay married.
Is your reboot like a 1600s version of Curb Your Enthusiasm with like Larry David trying to get out of a marriage and like all of them are burning?
Yeah, that would have been a good idea for a reboot.
That's a very good idea for
it's
a reboot.
It's so much better than my reboot. I cannot express that enough.
Much better than mine. Anyway, so we sort of skimmed over the Australian soccer team. Yeah, can we go back to that?
Yeah. The accents were incredible.
They were all English actors.
Oh, no.
And I said, that's not a Kiwi, that's an emu.
They were all very poor. I think they're Americans.
Doing an English accent.
Doing an Australian accent, but just really.
Australian actors are cheap.
And there's so many of them over there. There's heaps.
Yeah, well, Rhys Muldoon.
Could have gotten Rhys Muldoon. Would
be that expensive.
In the US.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Just get Nicole Kidman.
No. Yeah. But like, there's people.
What was she doing back then? BMX Bandits?
Yeah, probably.
Early
2000s.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, but like, if it's like all those
others
ones that,
or something.
So all the ones that appear over there.
Surely you should pass up the others to be on Sabrina.
Naturally. But there'd be heaps. Because think of all the Australians that are in Hollywood that are famous. There's got to be the ones underneath.
Hugh Jackman.
They're saying there's none underneath
Russell
that.
Crowe.
We only produce A-list.
There's no second tier.
I'm flipping on what I said earlier in that we're all cheap. We only produce A-list.
So they're all super expensive.
Yeah. No wonder they went with Americans.
Exactly.
Good thing you stuck. It's like you held firm to that point.
It's like The Simpsons, where it's way easier to get a horse to play a cow. Australians don't look like or sound like Australians on film. You've got to get an American to do an English accent.
Oh, and that's how you get the Australian.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. Okay. Something to do with the speakers.
Yeah, something to do with the speakers. The microphone's
here. Yeah, that's weird.
It's weird.
So you listener may be hearing us as Australians.
Yeah.
But we're all Dutch.
Yeah, we're all Dutch.
Putting on American accents, trying to do... And then through that, doing English accents.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's how we get this Australian accent.
That's how we sound so authentic.
Cool.
Cobbers. So Zelda didn't come back for the finale.
She did not.
Well, she
actor
did.
Dispute.
Come well, back okay, as a so candle.
She was a candle.
Well, I
in order to get Sabrina's mum at the wedding because she couldn't see her because she like loses her powers or something if she sees her. Yeah. I don't know. They had to do a deal with the magic devil or something.
So it was the shoddiest, like riding around someone quitting the show I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It's,
she couldn't come, but she's a candle now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Again, the production design was like, this show is a slam dunk.
We're going to have to come back.
All I got to do is buy a $3 candle. We've replaced an entire character.
And we'll do this for everyone.
Why don't you just replace everyone with candles?
Just candles right, and that's my reboot. An animatronic cat.
That is my reboot.
Costs so much.
The best part is as well,
the teenage candle.
I really felt they worked backwards with it. Like, oh, how could we show Zelda showing emotion? Like, oh, we'd make like a candle, it would light up. And that's how they thought of it. And then they realized probably when they started, like, oh, she's literally just a piece of wax for like most of the time.
She played the part well though.
The candle.
Yeah, she managed to convey so much emotion.
Candle's got a lot of range.
Best performance as a candle I've ever seen.
Yeah.
This is true.
Got the Emmy for best candle.
Yeah, it's a real like Daniel Day-Lewis type stuff. She looks like a candle.
Yeah. Well, did they choose candle because
she's a method actor?
Would they put her in Madame Tussauds?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Covered her in wax.
Did they choose candle though because of the they said if the mother looked up on her, she turned into a ball of wax.
Yeah. Right.
That just occurred to me. Now it kind of makes. I'm not going to give them any credit.
Didn't they say at the start it was like for the next 2 years? If you don't see...
Which
is like 7 years on. Why can't you see...
It shouldn't be an issue anymore.
Why are they going to do deals for her to see her mother? Yeah. I'll bet it's just made up.
Is like, this like another...
My mum just doesn't want to see him.
Will of the gods thing? Just like, oh, yeah. No, it's a witch thing. I can't see you this weekend.
The old pub rules.
Yeah.
Playing
pubs. It's either a character... Like, I don't think it's a character flaw or anything like that. I think it's just... When you're writing a show like this, you can just take whatever shortcuts you want and just say... Claim witchcraft if it doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
because witchcraft.
Best part about having a witchcraft based show. You can just bypass anything. I looked up Hilda and Zelda. They're in 141 to 142 episodes. Mm. So Zelda literally just doesn't come on for this last one. So
that's odd.
That's so weird.
It's very weird. So
something
is amiss. Yeah. Anyway, best not to question it.
I'm sure it's all above board. It's fine. I think. It's Aaron, isn't it? The guy who she's supposed to be married.
Yes, hello.
Yeah. Mm. Hello, how are you going?
Can we talk about how much I hate Morgan? She is the fucking worst. Morgan the friend, okay. Not Morgan the
this
co-host.
This got confusing very quickly.
She the redhead one?
As soon as you said hate Morgan,
headlights.
I knew who you meant immediately. Because it would be a funny time to bring that up again now on air. But she's a real
she's
bitch.
The worst.
Yeah.
And
it's the worst
and
character.
And is just... Not a great actor, actress.
No.
And also the character is just really thick.
Every part of it is terrible.
Yeah.
Every single bit.
But we can go back to talking about Aaron now.
Aaron, I like your beard.
Thank you.
Beard I like is good. Your hair.
Thank you. Would you say I'm conventionally handsome?
No.
No, you are.
Unconventionally
not only
something.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I would describe you as.
Conventionally Australian.
Yes, that's
we'll
it.
Go that
conventionally
far.
Conventionally
Dutch. Dutch. Yeah, sorry, my bad.
Dutch Australian.
Because they play him out like he's just like this holier than thou, like really, really nice guy. But then he's looking after...
Seems like a bit of a dick.
He's looking after Salem and then like puts him in the thing. And then Salem...
The cat
carrier thing. And then so Salem plays dead in order to get out. And he like walks up like, oh, no, the cat's dead. Oh, God, what am I going to do?
Kitty. Okay. What do I do? Bury it. Garbage bags. Freezer.
What?
Material.
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah. I don't know how he's going to go with
like,
children.
It's not your fault. You put it in the cat carrier.
Yeah, why would you cover
like,
that
why
up?
Why would you? Especially putting in the freezer. And they're going to see it in the freezer.
So if you make out like the cat, like, if the you freezer. Try to make it disappear, then Sabrina comes back and she just thinks Salem's run away and she's fretting for weeks and then just has to have that.
Yeah.
Grief of a runaway cat.
So what? Does he know she's a witch?
No. Yes. No, I don't know.
Because why wouldn't Salem
That's a
just,
very good
why
question.
Wouldn't he know that Salem's Salem?
That's
why would
a
he
very
think he's
good
just
question.
A plain old cat?
Yeah, I don't know.
He didn't even pick up on it when he kept changing the channel back.
When
maybe he doesn't know
Salem
she's a witch.
Started pretending to bark like a dog.
Woof, woof. I mean, meow, meow.
I don't think he does know.
I don't think he knows.
If he knew she was a witch, there'd be no point in hiding the fact that Salem can talk.
Yeah.
And if he knew Salem was sentient, he wouldn't be... He wouldn't
Such have, a dick?
He wouldn't be... Yeah, he wouldn't put him in the cage. Yeah. You'd have a chat with him. Let's watch the game. Let's not watch this Mussolini documentary.
Does old mate Harvey know she's a witch?
I don't think so. I don't think he knows much.
He's pretty thick.
He's very thick.
Yeah. I'd say by that stage he would.
Yeah.
I think he would. Why but her friends don't know she's a witch.
Are there any witch dudes that she can...
Wizards?
I don't know.
No, well, witch dudes.
Yeah, they're witch. Because her dad's a witch dude.
Witch dude.
Gender neutral term.
Penn and Teller are witch dudes.
Yeah.
They are.
Yeah.
They're witch dudes in real life, though, so it was easy for them.
It was a nice, easy transition.
They were born to play those roles.
So on the morning of the wedding, Sabrina wakes up with cold feet. Literally.
I enjoyed that gag, to be honest.
Do you think that happens with like other metaphorical conditions?
For witches?
Yeah, like if you have heartburn, is your chest like on fire?
Oh, yes. Man, that I think would it be is. An alarming, some, like, alarming
stabbing pains. Yeah. There's like a knife in your side.
Yeah,
like is that just like the subconscious coming to the fore, sort of thing?
Yeah,
is like
I guess.
That. Like she's doing this. Like it's her magic that's making.
Yeah, yeah. I guess so.
Because it's not like a natural force that's causing that. Well, although there's
doubt.
The doubt guy. Yeah, there's a guy personified doubt.
I would say though, if she woke up with those icebox around her feet.
You're in a bit of trouble.
Oh, yeah. That is some serious frostbite she's getting.
Yeah, yeah. Her feet will fall off.
Yeah. It's not good.
You're going to have to lop those bad boys right off.
Magic
up some wheels.
Replace them with tracks.
Tank tracks. You and your go-to tank tracks.
I feel like it needs to be done at some point.
Really pushing the boundaries.
Yeah.
I don't think there's one single relatable character in this show.
Hilda.
Maybe Salem.
Hilda?
That probably
Zelda.
Says more about me.
Hilda.
Hilda and probably Salem are the two most relatable characters.
Yeah. So I want to talk about Salem.
I love documentaries on Mussolini.
Yeah, you mentioned that he was watching a Mussolini documentary.
Yeah.
And he got imprisoned inside a cat's body for 100 years because he tried to take over the world.
Yeah.
Do you reckon he was like...
Mussolini?
Yeah.
Hitler.
Do you reckon he was...
He was Hitler.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, he was Hitler. He was witch Hitler.
Witch Hitler.
Witch Hitler. Damn.
So
he was a witch, right? He's not just regular Hitler.
Yeah.
So he's probably.
Jeez, that's a scary proposition.
Witch Hitler.
Yeah.
Witch Hitler. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ. So he's been trapped inside the cat body for what 50 years?
Now? So since like 1945 at the end of World War II.
Yeah, 60 years.
So 52. He's coming out soon.
Maybe
he's we're going to have to deal with that in 27 years.
Jesus Christ. Well, at least we know now.
We do. We got the time to prepare.
So you reckon he's part of the Third Reich? Maybe.
Witch Hitler.
Yeah.
Well,
which Hitler started the Third Reich.
I mean, like, maybe he was one of the other ones. Maybe he wasn't. Although they never found Hitler's body.
Exactly. And they definitely never found which Hitler's body.
No.
For a number of reasons.
Yeah. Maybe Aaron knew.
The biggest
one
being he didn't exist.
Like,
he's a witch hunter?
Yeah, he wanted to chuck witch Hitler in a freezer.
Well, a witch hunter would be conventionally handsome like Aaron.
Yeah.
Would be. I mean, the only one we have to go off is Hugh Jackman as Van Helsing.
And Jensen Ackles and Jared Padalecki in Supernatural.
Ooh.
I wouldn't say Jared Padalecki's conventionally handsome.
No, Jensen Ackles is a bit...
He's conventionally
handsome. Jared Padalecki's conventionally handsome.
You reckon? Yeah. I'd go the other way.
Jensen Ackles is a bit different. He's got the bad boy look.
No way.
Jared Padalecki's got the stupid fluffy hair that no one actually has in real life.
You're saying Jared Padalecki's not a handsome man?
I'm saying he's not conventional. I would say Jensen Ackles is conventionally handsome.
Jensen Ackles is not conventionally
handsome. He's got a straighter jaw.
Yeah, exactly.
I agree with Jez. He's more of the bad boy look. And he's got the...
That's not about his face. It's about like his jacket.
Character.
You got to have the stupid
and the car and the music.
Let's not get the whole car.
You're not really attracted to him. You're just attracted to the stuff that he has.
Let's not get the whole thing. That's really neither here nor there.
You are very superficial.
Well, again,
it's the name of the show.
Listeners of the show would know.
Yeah, but no, I would say that's anyway. Back to the point. So we need conventionally handsome witch hunters to stop witch Hitler from coming back.
Yeah, from escaping his cat prison.
Yeah,
just like wring its neck. It's a cat.
Yeah,
I mean, not that I condone.
But it's Hitler. It's like that. It's like
cat
that,
Hitler. Pretty easy to stop him.
Yeah, it's like that thought experiment where, like, would you kill Hitler as a baby, like as an infant, in order to prevent the deaths of 5 million Jewish people?
Well, what would the world look like now, though?
Yeah, surely something else would have replaced it.
Somebody wrote a book on that.
The Man in the High Tower.
Is that what it's called?
That's if Germany won the war.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a.
But if Hitler never existed, surely the population of the world would be...
Hosts QI?
Stephen Fry.
Stephen Fry, yeah. He wrote a book on like what would happen if
Hitler never existed.
If Hitler never existed, yeah. And it was basically
presumably something else would have replaced it and would have been a different war.
Yeah, the idea was that they actually went quite early.
Mm.
And had Hitler not come around, it just would have bubbled over to a higher degree, and they probably would have had a lot more of an impact than they did.
What would have?
Which is interesting. The Nazis.
There
would have been Nazis. It just would have been the 60s.
Did the Nazi party exist outside of Hitler?
No, he started it, didn't he?
But there were those ideas. Someone else would have.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah. The ideas of, old Nietzsche and stuff. But there was superhuman.
Yeah, because there was lots of... But after that, after World War One, it was all sorts of ideas going. There was a lot of communists going in there trying to get that communism up and running.
Hitler was in World War One. Maybe Hitler killed who would have been Hitler in World War One.
Oh, right. Yeah. So you reckon Hitler went, that was his mission?
No, I'm just saying. He knew someone was going to be Hitler. If you remove Hitler from World War One, one of the people that he killed might have been worse than Hitler.
On the other side.
Yeah.
But we're not talking about it because he killed him.
Yeah, exactly. There's some soldier that died in World War One.
Yeah,
but
I'm thinking, if Hitler didn't exist, it probably would have just wouldn't it just been a communism capitalism? Wouldn't have that just come to the forefront a lot?
Skip straight to the Cold War,
or a World War of Western Europe against Eastern Europe.
Could have,
where the Americans get involved.
The Russians were pretty bad, but they just weren't as bad.
No,
different.
The USSR
different kind of bad.
Yeah.
Mm.
I mean, Stalin signed a lot of death warrants. I wouldn't say that was a good thing.
Mm.
I didn't expect to hear that sentence in this episode. Welcome to Sabrina the Teenage Witch, everybody. Yeah.
This is where we talk about Stalin and Hitler. Anyway, back to Witch Hitler.
We'll put up a poll.
I'm pretty sure that there
Stalin
was...
Stalin or Hitler?
I'm pretty sure...
What's the poll? Would it be better if Hitler never existed?
Or if there was witch Hitler?
Just a fist fight. Stalin or Hitler. That's how we'll sort this out.
Stalin or witch Hitler. Yeah.
Or
Hitler or witch Hitler.
Yeah.
I
back
that. Sounds like a real bad game show.
Witch Hitler.
I'm pretty sure I remember seeing an episode where Salem was in the basement playing cards with Hitler and Stalin and stuff.
Really?
Wow.
Maybe it was South Park. That makes much more sense.
Two very different shows.
Yeah, I don't know. In my head, I can see it, but I don't know if it's an actual memory.
Can you also see Saddam Hussein in there?
No.
Okay.
No.
Is that just your reboot? It'd
definitely be South Park.
Yeah, that's my reboot.
They did love it.
It's a new style of poker where you play against warlords.
Relax, take a load off.
So, a cobbler who specializes in practical footwear, should we reboot this bad boy?
How long have you been thinking of that one for?
That's good.
But we definitely should. We should reboot it.
Does it even work?
I think it's pretty good.
Yeah.
If we don't dwell on it, it works.
Makes sense. It's fine.
Look, I'll take point on the reboots.
Okay.
If y'all don't mind.
Sure.
Excellent.
Wow, that was weird.
Cool. So mine is I'm cutting out Sabrina because she's a crap character. Even though the show is centered around her.
It's a crap show.
She is a poor actress.
Yeah. But it's based on... But it is sort of a... I guess you could say... It's a spin-off of this show. So it's set in Boston, as we know.
Not Portland?
Is the original set in Boston?
It is, yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, she... she's gone.
Why doesn't anyone have a Boston accent?
Yeah, you're right. Anyway, hey, Jack.
Yeah.
Anyway, Salem's now sort of living out on his own. So he decides, with all his Salem money, well, he's got no Salem money.
With all his Salem money.
Salem money.
I just realized
money is that. Is this a new cryptocurrency?
I realized as I said that, it actually kind of completely undermines the whole premise of the show. So forget that. So anyway, Salem decides to start a new business.
Bank.
He starts up an undertaker's. So it's he starts up an undertaker. He hires a mortician played by Charlie Day. He's his little sub mortician.
Great.
It's comedy, and bankrolling him to do this is former NBA Celtics star Paul Pierce. So Paul Pierce, Charlie Day, and Salem start up. Yeah, he's still a cat. Okay. So he's the manager. Paul Pierce kind of funds it and just hangs out there and does stuff. And Charlie Day does all the work. And he's just, all these hijinks happening and them trying to run the daily hijinks of them. It's a sitcom of them trying to run this Undertakers. Will Arnett is going to play the voice of Salem.
Ooh, nice.
I'm ditching the other guy. For spite. I feel like
Will Arnett, you
get him. Too good for too long.
Yeah, exactly. You can only ride that for so long. And so, yeah, it's called Salem's Plot.
Ooh.
So, yeah.
What's he plotting to do? Well, the plots are based around him, and that's why it's called that? Or?
No, it sounds plot, like, you know,
like
a plot.
Like, yeah, like a story. Oh, like a plot. Like a yeah. No, like a movie.
Not like a gold plot?
No, okay. It's like a plot, like a grave plot. That's exactly what
why Paul Pierce?
I don't know. Just like, I was just thinking that'd be really... Because it was in Boston. I'm like, where's it set? Boston. And for some reason, Paul Pierce jumped in my head. I'm like, yeah, it'd be funny if you had Paul Pierce, Charlie Day...
So he's just going to quit all his TV commissions.
Well, he's been ditched from a couple of them actually recently.
Is he? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Looking for work.
Yeah, so Paul Pierce, yeah, he's going to bankroll Undertaker and hang out with a cat and Charlie.
Yeah,
Day.
Why not?
It's believable.
Get him on their domestic basketball team.
Be pretty handy.
Yeah,
he can still play.
Yeah, someone's got to pick up the slack. The cats
exactly.
So yeah, Salem's Plot.
Salem's Plot. Cool. Okay. All right, I'm going to jump in.
I've never seen Salem's Plot.
Neither.
Is that a thing? I don't know. Yeah, I've never heard of it.
See, originally, my original idea was I was going to have... I had no Salem's idea. Plot, and I was going to have... like Salem was like a used car salesman, but then that's really similar to one I've done before.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to do that.
Gritty Little Ties.
Gritty Little Ties, yeah.
Mm. It's a vampire movie from 79.
Yes. Oh, wow. No, never heard of it. Mm. Interesting.
Stephen King, I believe.
He's done a lot of stuff.
You're welcome.
All right,
Scott. For me opening your eyes to that.
Mm.
Okay.
Exposing you to new things, new
thoughts. More Morgan, probably.
New ideas. No, that's me.
Okay. No, anyway, take the credit for that. That's fine.
Anyway, it's
for a film that I'm never going to watch. So.
Why?
Reboot.
Oh, have you watched it?
No, never.
Yeah.
But I've mentioned it.
I'm
going to
watch it for you.
I can't even recommend it because I haven't seen it, but I've mentioned it. That should be enough.
Okay. Thank you.
Was that so hard?
It really was.
Like a minute went by.
It was very laborious.
Yeah. I just want Scott to be grateful.
But just this doesn't matter. Just so we're clear, I was the vehicle that got that moving with Salem's Plot. So
you haven't done your reboot yet.
Well, I have done my reboot.
What? When?
Salem's Plot.
I don't believe you. Scott, what have you got?
Okay.
We'll get to Morgan last.
Okay, fine.
Much like Morgan's reboot that is yet to come, I'm also going to ditch all the characters. Well, I'm also going to ditch Salem as well. So we're going to follow a character named Mavis. She's an 89-year-old woman living in a retirement village, seeing out the rest of her days. Basically, she's like accepted that her life is ending and is ready for the good Lord to take her. However, on the morning of her 90th birthday, she discovers herself she's floating above her bed, which is quite dangerous for a 90-year-old, now that I think about it.
It's not good.
She's then visited by her great aunt, who she hasn't seen since she was like a young girl, maybe like 10 years old, and is informed.
A great aunt, and she's 90.
Yes.
Okay.
Wait for me to finish the sentence, and then we'll draw that to a close. And is informed that she comes from a line of witches who only get their powers when they reach 90 years old, and then go on to live for another 200 years. So over the course of this, I think we're just going to make it into a film. Over the course of the film, she's introduced to like the older witches from the family. And I don't know, from there, I don't really know what the conflict is for this. Maybe they like, I don't know.
Basically Golden Girls, but they're witches.
First day of retirement village.
Yeah, maybe it's something like that.
Picked on by the retirement village bully.
Maybe like the whole village is witches. I don't know. Maybe they like control everything.
Oh, like that movie, Salem's Lot.
Exactly like that film,
I love
Salem's
that
Lot.
Movie.
It's one of my favorite movies.
It's a great movie.
Yeah.
So it's basically just a story.
Scott, I noticed you brushed over saying that it was a good movie.
Tell us your thoughts.
I'm not going there.
Who was the lead actor in that again?
I think Scott was in it.
Okay. Oh, me. Yeah. Shit, okay. Anyway, it's basically just a world where people get magical powers when they turn 90. Oh, well, not people, everybody, but just...
Witches.
Yeah. So playing Mavis, we're going to get June Squibb, just because she's great.
Not a lot of actors that can play 90-year-olds, to be honest.
Yeah. She's in Nebraska. She's the mother June from Squibb's Nebraska. That's pretty much...
Not rolling out Betty White for this one?
Maybe get Betty White to play the auntie.
Stan Lee.
Yeah. Betty White can play the
Sean
great,
Connery's
the great aunt.
Yeah. Gene Hackman.
All the greats. We'll get all the greats in for it. And it's called...
Kirk Douglas.
It's called Mavis the Geriatric Witch.
Okay, I like it.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
Nice. All right, I'll jump in with mine now. Mine's set just after Sabrina finishes high school. So obviously when she hit witch puberty, she went through a lot of self-discovery, figuring out her powers and what you had to do to be a witch. Mm-hmm. But as we saw, a lot of that was taken out on fellow students And presumably, a lot of townspeople suffered. So,
I'd hope so.
Okay.
more than satisfied.
I like the suffering.
Do you want to leave now? Or?
No. Continue.
So it's just 2 hours of people suffering. Because of that, the townspeople decide to put together a class action suit against Sabrina.
Ooh.
So they get in a hotshot lawyer to come in. He's played by Philip Baker Hall, who is Bookman from Seinfeld.
Yes.
So he's taking the case. So it's just kind of a cavalcade of her indiscretions, turning people into fruit and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And then at the end, the judge...
finally paying for her crimes.
Yeah. She does get found guilty. And at the end, the judge has to figure out what animal she's going to be put into for how long.
Oh.
Yeah. So what do you reckon would be appropriate?
A fish.
A fish for how long? A goldfish?
Yeah. Like a shark? And, well, they live a couple of months.
We can presume that... the animal will keep living because cats don't live for 100 years.
If the scale was for being Hitler, you get 100 years as a cat.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. So, a better animal.
Maybe
an animal 20 years as a horse.
20 years as a horse?
Yeah, that sounds about 20 right. 20 years a horse.
I wouldn't say.
Is that the title?
Like a monkey.
Sequel
or
to 12 Years a Slave.
Some sort of monkey.
Yeah.
So you've still got opposable thumbs and stuff, you know? Mm, maybe work. Part of their sentencing. Sort of guidelines are just, it's just, you are a cat and it's just how long you're a cat for.
Yeah.
Mm.
So maybe she's 6 years as a cat.
So this is called Subpoena the Teenage Witch.
That's good.
That's so dumb.
You definitely work backwards from that.
Oh, yeah.
That's so dumb.
That's,
I love it. Okay, Morgan, your reboot.
Well, actually, my reboot is a novelist and a young horror fan attempt to save a small New England town which has been invaded by vampires.
What's it called?
It's written by Stephen King. It's called Salem's Lot.
Sounds great.
Yeah, I just looked it up on IMDb.
I don't like it. I'm not a
it's
fan.
It's got David Soul and James Mason in it.
I think I'm going to go with a gritty reimagining for Netflix. A Netflix exclusive.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, that's actually coming out.
I know.
Yeah.
So, you're pulling an A-team.
Like Aaron, I really tried hard to come up with a pun name. I wasn't as successful as him. So basically, it's an unlicensed PlayStation 1 game for Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Being unlicensed, they've got to change everything just enough not to get subpoenaed. So it's called Katrina the Teenage Fish. And she exists in it's an action-adventure game. The good thing is it's a platformer, but then also you go into when she turns into the fish, you go some underwater levels. Mm. So pretty exciting. So yeah, basically she
sounds exciting.
She gets to 16 and finds out that she's got the powers of a fish. She can turn into a fish if she wishes. And
yep.
Yeah, you can imagine that off-brand Salem and her would have a
is Salem different relationship. Off-brand cat?
Talem? Yeah, I don't know what you call him, Talem or something.
He's a cat though.
Yeah, Slalem.
So he doesn't want to be involved in the water business.
No, but he sort of cat.
He's not in the underground fish. Levels. Yeah. Underground, underwater levels. They're underground levels.
Yeah, they're underground levels.
Yes. Yeah,
oh, nice.
Cool. I like this.
It could be whatever levels you want.
PC Mag gives it 4 out of 5 stars.
Katrina for Sabrina. It's more about the names, I guess.
Yeah.
So Zelda.
You can't use Zelda.
Helga.
Helga.
Helga for Hilda.
Yep.
And Zilga for Zelda.
That'll work. Helga and Zilga. Katrina the Teenage Fish. Unlicensed PS1 game.
Solid.
And instead of the guitar sort of down, 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 it's going to be saxophone.
All sax, yeah.
So if it's if it's unlicensed, how are you going to sell it, through the trading post or
no? As in, it would be and go down to your local EB Games and be on the shelf.
But it's unlicensed.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter because it's
not licensed by Sabrina.
Oh yeah, right. Oh right. Okay, I got
it. So kids will around Christmas be like, I really want that new Sabrina game, Mum, and she'll be like, oh sure, I'll get it for you. And she'll go down to the shops and she'll accidentally pick up this.
Yeah,
and that's all we can really hope for.
That's our target market.
Jeremy tricking 40-year-old mothers of. Fans
confused
Sabrina
parents
teenage,
is our target market
for 10 years. Yeah,
it's a real untapped vein of
I like it.
Video game sales and the confused parents.
All right, well let's not humor Jez any further and let's move straight into the IMDb list of the episode, the week, the month.
Let's do it.
Aaron.
So this week's list is celebrities I've met in real life. or in my dreams.
I love how I was about to cut in, but Jesus Christ, that just went up a notch.
Because you can tell what would have happened here. They would have written the list as celebrities that I've met in real life. It's three people.
I'll stop you there, Jez. The description is, so far, only one of these celebrities I've once met in real life. In brackets, sort of. Oh. All the others I've met in my dreams, especially even Paris Hilton.
Oh,
especially even.
Especially even.
Jesus. What's the username on this?
Said Walu.
Okay. Mm.
Yeah. Mm. So number one on the list is Victoria Justice, who I haven't heard of. I think she's like some Disney actress.
Yeah. Right.
But the description for that one is, I didn't exactly meet her. One time I was at the mall and I saw a pretty girl who looked just like her. The girl was actually really nice. So I'm going to just assume that I actually met her, although I'm not really sure.
What the fuck
is wrong with this person? Is this person 10 years old?
And then going down the list, like most of them don't have descriptions, so presumably they've just dreamt about these people.
Yep.
Like Harvey and Sabrina are on this list.
Okay.
But Nikki Hilton is on the list.
Right.
And the description is, I dreamt that I met her sister Paris, not her personally. So she's not even including people.
As if this couldn't get any more convoluted.
He met Paris in his dreams, but yeah, Nikki was just in the next room, so it's close enough.
Even. What was the term? Even.
No, especially even.
It's like when you mark up a country. Oh, I've been to Singapore. I was at the airport for a changeover, but that's way worse.
I dreamt that I was at the airport.
It's saying that I went to Malaysia because I had a stopover in Singapore.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah. Oh my god.
And like Scott said, you only dreamt.
but then it's also only a dream.
It was her sister. Real.
There are so many qualifiers to this. Like this.
Oh my god. Yeah, so...
Who else we got on the list?
Some more.
Lindsay Lohan.
I'm noticing
at least I thought I saw her.
Yeah, like mid-2000s.
I'm noticing all right, well, I'll change some. Dennis Quaid. J.D. Salinger.
We've all had dreams about J.D. Salinger and Dennis Quaid.
What?
I don't even know what Dennis Quaid looks like.
It's like a poor man's Pierce Brosnan.
I couldn't dream
him
up.
Did they dream about like actual J.D. No, because that knocks out that this is a 10-year-old. No dream about J.D. Salinger.
Their dreams are just them meeting them. At the mall.
Does the mall exist? Like, I think this person lives out in the woods.
I don't know.
Who else we got?
Amy Adams.
Yep, okay.
I swear to God, sometimes she just looks like Nicole Kidman.
I'll pay that.
Yeah, alright.
You're dreaming, you're wrong. But
can you... What else we got? Let's go one more. We've got it.
Yoko Ono's on there.
Okay.
Alright.
And Raven Goodwin. Or was it Amber Riley? Can't tell. Those two just look so much alike.
It's your dream.
Take some agency, Jesus.
Yeah.
Bruce
Springsteen.
Oh, really? I tell you what.
Maybe they're all at a Bruce Springsteen concert.
Maybe.
It's all in one dream.
Oh, my.
She's got there's a fair bit of... it's a big range. That is one of the finalists you've come across, Aaron. I'm really, really proud of your efforts there.
That is intense.
I don't even know what to say. Just can't. I am speechless. I am without speech. Well.
There's been some cracker lists as of late.
Mm. All right. Well, anyway, let's move past that. And
I don't think I can.
I can't either. It's all I can
especially
think about.
Even.
Are we going to get to your reboot?
What's that? No, I'm not doing a reboot. Okay. I just want to talk about Salem's plot. I've been thinking about it for the last 29 episodes.
Finally, this is really taking the air out of our tires.
Finally, I got to talk about Salem's plot, my favorite 1979 work of Stephen King.
Yeah. Well, that's fair.
There's a lot to choose from.
It was pre him just coking himself out of his mind.
No, I think that was peak.
Well, right. Mid?
No. Yeah. No. Early 90s was him at his absolute...
That was four books a week.
Yeah, and he was like appearing in all of his movies, and he directed that one about the truck, and in the...
What's
the one
bad
about the truck?
Oh, it's like... It's...
Oh, wait, hang on.
Yeah, I mean...
You're not talking about Jewel, are you?
It's not Jewel.
Jewel's
Jewel.
Also,
Jewel
is Richard Matheson, not Stephen King.
There's a movie that Stephen King directed, and what's the name of it? It's Maximum Overdrive is the movie.
Oh,
that sounds awful.
Yeah, it's widely rated as one of the worst movies of all time. And in the trailer for it, Stephen King actually introduces the movie.
Emilio Estevez.
Yeah, but he widely talks about how he now, like, he was on so much cocaine when he did that, he couldn't even think. Like, which I just love the sound of. But anyway, let's move past this, the work of Stephen King and Salem's Lot. We can bring that up next episode. And let's get on to final thoughts. Jeremy.
Yeah, well, I'm definitely not going to go back and watch Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
No?
Like I said, I'd seen a bit of it. So, you know, I know enough of what it would have been like to just assume what happened through the seven seasons. I would like to know, though, if there were any other intros, because both of them were equally terrible, especially the one for the last episode. Yeah. So
if they like swapped them out every season.
Yeah, I might watch like a YouTube mashup of all of the intros, but that's about it. So what's that? That comes to like a 2 out of 10.
Yeah, it's not a good rating.
At best.
Aaron, what about you?
I wouldn't mind saying some more. I got some chuckles out of the first episode.
Man, you have the weirdest opinions of
Joy. Oh, well, I'm sorry it's not episode one of the A-Team, Jez.
I just mean like...
It's more that you've said, I might watch a few here and there if they're on.
So many terrible shows.
Hate Will and Grace.
Oh, do not compare this to Will and Grace.
No, also, I will compare this to Will and Grace because...
They're not going to be on.
That's why I can say it. Nobody's never going to be on.
I just don't understand how you could how you can find this more palatable than Will and Grace.
Let's not get into it.
Okay, we'll talk about
this.
Each to their own.
But okay. Like Will and Grace, it is also being rebooted, which I do not plan on watching.
No. Yeah.
That's a real dark,
really,
dark
reboot. Really on Netflix.
The Chilling Adventures or...
Oh, well, if it's on.
It's like, it's the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina or something. Yeah. It's Netflix that's doing it. Yeah. I'm interested. I'm not going to watch it, but I am interested.
To see, track its,
it is called its rating on IMDb.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
What else you've got? Final thoughts on...
No chance in hell. Or any other place, for that matter.
I have this kind of like weird interest in shows made around that time. I've watched lots of... 97. Not 97 to like early 2000s. I've got like... I went through this phase of buying DVDs of that or just tracking them down. Like a lot of Chris Carter had a couple of shows like Harsh Realm and Millennium that went for Shorts fans.
Never heard of those shows.
Exactly. Exactly. But that's the thing. I've got this weird thing where I like finding them. And there's a lot of them on YouTube, which is great.
Is this another show that your sister liked?
That you've eaten?
No, because I...
She would have been right in the age bracket.
I don't remember. I don't remember this being watched that much. I remember personally watching it a little bit because I really like Salem.
Should have been like 12 or something, right, when it came out?
Salem's Lot, personally. I don't know. I can't remember. I don't really remember this one, to be honest. So, no.
No. Well.
Yeah. But that's... Yeah, no, look, I reckon I'd watch bits and pieces if I saw it on TV. I'd just like watch it for a couple of minutes, but then...
So, would you say your parting words would be, if you had the choice between Sabrina reruns or Salem's Lot?
Oh, Salem's Lot all the way, yeah. Massive Stephen King fan, especially his coked up days. So he's best when he's channeling his best work. Anyway, Jez, where can people find us online?
Online?
Yeah, online. On the online.
Well, I mean, you've got a personal Facebook page that I could plug.
And a mobile number.
And I can give them a home address.
Yeah, but please. Sure.
Do you want me to tell listeners where they can find you offline?
Yeah.
Do like we and do the same thing. In real life, with a knife.
We do the same thing every week.
Oh, fine.
The incompleteseries.com.
Okay, I was about to move on. Aaron, what else you got for me?
Facebook and Instagram is The Incomplete Series and Podcast TIS on Twitter.
Cool.
You can also head over to Podchaser or iTunes. Give us a cheeky little review. Tell us what you think.
Just a cheeky little one.
Yeah.
Helps not
us
a big
out.
One.
Helps nah. us out. Helps us out.
Not serious and not big. Mm.
And while you're doing that as well, jump onto IMDb and give Salem's Lot a 10 on IMDb. It's a good place. It does help this show out.
For
maybe Salem's Lot. Maybe send some reboot ideas to Boggs because he was stumped with this one. Also, if anyone knows what Paul Pierce is doing,
get him to get in touch with him.
Hit me up.
All right, we'll probably just leave it there then. All right, thank you, Jez.
Thank you.
Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you.
And thank you, Scott.
Thank you, everybody.